This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, the best and only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. Breaking down the Rockets' 95-85 loss against the LA Lakers. Now, this is the second kind of contending team that they've played. They played the Utah Jazz last week, got thoroughly trounced in that one. And then playing against the LA Lakers, things actually looked a little bit better for this Rockets team. Now, the defense, serviceable at times, minus one Carmelo Anthony, who torched the Rockets for 23 points in 25 minutes on 8 of 14 shooting, 5 of 8 from behind the three-point line. The Rockets consistently losing Melo. Former Houston Rockets legend Carmelo Anthony. Got to throw that one in there. How many former Houston Rockets are on the Lakers? Russ, Melo, Avery Bradley, Dwight Howard. Oh goodness. Okay, there's a lot. Trevor Ariza, who didn't even play. Dwight didn't play. Anyways, the Rockets defense in this one was actually relatively serviceable for the majority of the game. In fact, they held the Lakers to just 19 points in the third quarter. Maybe you attribute some of that to the Lakers having a sizable lead and kind of taking the foot off the gas a little bit, but the defense was pretty quality. They were making the right rotations. There was some really good individual one-on-one defensive possessions in this game. Specifically, Alperen Şengün had some standout moments. KJ Martin had some standout moments. Jayshon Tate had a few impressive moments in this one, just like individual one-on-one defensive plays, be it in transition or in the half court. So the defense wasn't the issue in this game for the Rockets. The issue is the offense, which has been just, for lack of better term, and even Steven Silas said it himself the other day at Rockets practice. I asked him how he felt about the half court offense, because he's been preaching so much about pace and getting out in transition and running. And I said, okay, well, what do you feel about the half court offense? He said, honestly, it hasn't been great. And true to his word, it really hasn't been great. The Rockets offense in this one, they haven't found any really semblance of consistency. And at times it feels like the guys out there look rather lost. Now, maybe again, some of that can be attributed to the fact that the Utah Jazz, a very good defensive team, the LA Lakers, a very good defensive team, right? They did a great job running the Rockets off of the three-point line, forcing them into contested looks, doing all the little things that they were supposed to do defensively. The Lakers are a team with a lot of size, a lot of length, a lot of physicality. It can make things difficult for this Rockets team. Now, there were still so many moments throughout this game where I'm scratching my head thinking, okay, well, why are they doing X? Why are they doing Z? And I want to get into some of those specifics a little bit further down the line, but I just want to revisit kind of just the overall flow of the game. Again, a 95-85 finish, you know, Rockets go down 27-15 early. The Lakers winning the second quarter 27-20. They carry a very comfortable lead into halftime. And then it was that third quarter where the Rockets and Lakers kind of played each other to a bit of a stalemate, 21-19 in favor of LA still. But then that fourth quarter, the Rockets kind of turned on the Jets a little bit and made things a little bit interesting, to where the Lakers starters wound up playing probably a bit longer than they would have liked in a game against a possible bottom five team in the Houston Rockets. The starters played, you know, well into the fourth quarter. Rockets made a run of things, you know, cutting into the lead, cutting it down to 10, getting this game to a point where it might have been within striking distance. And a big proponent of that run, especially in the fourth quarter, was KJ Martin, who I do want to talk about here in the second segment, because I think Alperen Şengün and KJ Martin were the two kind of catalysts in this game throughout certain points to keep the Rockets, in this game, and their individual performances were the two standout performances in this one to me. Now, the biggest issue, right, is defensively, they held the Lakers to just 95 points. They were very much in this game with their defense. Offensively, though, the free throw shooting and the turnovers have become such a big issue for this team. The Rockets currently, 6 games into the season, the Rockets are middle of the pack defensively. They are 14th in the NBA defensively with a 105 defensive rating. If you had told me that they would have been middle of the pack defensively 6 games into the season, I wouldn't have believed you. I would have believed maybe middle of the pack offensively or top 10 offensively. But so that's kind of the confusing situation about this team, is for a team full of so many young players, again, a decent mix of veterans and young guys, they're actually doing okay defensively, but it's on offense where they've been absolutely just flabbergasted and things look a total mess on that end of the basketball floor. And again, a big issue with that has been the turnovers and has been the free throw shooting. In this game, the Rockets went to the free throw line 29 times. They only connected on 15 of them. So to lose a game by 10 points, a game where you missed 14 free throws and where you turned the ball over 25 times, that's so frustrating. And for Steven Silas, even post game, somebody asked Steven Silas, okay, how does it feel to, you know, see your team, you know, you lose by 10, you missed, you know, you only shot 51 something percent from the charity stripe. How does that feel? And he just goes, it's frustrating. Like, just very like matter of fact, you know, and just, you could see the look on his face. He was upset, right? And rightfully so. And then also post game, Eric Gordon was one of the two players who spoke to the, you know, media post game. And Eric, you could really sense his frustration with the turnovers, especially, right? Just basically saying, you know, there's no excuse. Yeah, we're a young team, but, you know, we're all NBA players, right? This is the highest level of basketball there is. There's just certain things that you know to do, like, instinctively, right? Or you know not to do instinctively. And, you know, you could see kind of the frustration on his face as well, talking about the struggles that this team has faced through the early part of the season, because they're not giving themselves a chance, right? They're shooting themselves in their own feet. You know what? It's so many turnovers. They're shooting themselves in both their own feet. Okay. You know, it's not just one foot, it's both feet. That's how bad it's been. Because again, in this game, they coughed it up. Sorry, not 25 times, 27 times, not counting like the couple team turnovers that they had. But 27 turnovers to the tune of 32 points for the Lakers. Like, that is just a ridiculously hard number to overcome. So not only are they trying to overcome their turnover issues, they're also trying to overcome the fact that they have not been connecting at the free throw line. Christian Wood really took it upon himself post game in this one. Basically said, you know, this loss is on me. I need to be better. I need to be better, you know, from the free throw line. Christian Wood in this one, 16 points, 7 of 15 shooting, 1 of 6 from behind the 3-point line, 1 of 7 at the free throw line, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 turnovers. But, you know, for C. Wood, you know, if he's going to get to the charity stripe with regularity, which he can, and he's pretty good at, he's, you know, pretty effective at drawing fouls, he needs to be able to connect on them at better than a 1-for-7 clip. That is just ridiculous. There's no reason for him to shoot that poorly from the free throw line. And I do want to talk about Christian Wood, because I felt multiple times in this game and multiple times early throughout the season, this is just kind of one of my big takeaways about Christian Wood so far, is his situational awareness. And I'll talk about that a little bit later on. Overall, though, in this game, again, the Rockets coming away 95-85. This was a much more, it was still an ugly game to watch because both teams really struggled. Like, again, the Rockets shot 21.4% from behind the 3-point line, just 6 of 28. So not getting nearly as many 3-point attempts as they need, because again, the Lakers did a great job of running them off the 3-point line, just 42% from the floor, 51.7% from the free throw line. It was an ugly game. The Lakers had an ugly game too. They shot just 9 of 31 from behind the arc, 29%. 61.5% from the free throw line, 40.6% overall. Both teams had a really, like, this was just an ugly basketball game to watch. And had maybe a few things broken a little bit differently for the Rockets, we might be talking about a win right now instead of another L. And so that's got to be really frustrating for Steven Silas and company. I just want to go through these game notes really quick, make sure that I mentioned a couple of the individual defensive moments in this one. There was a point early in the first quarter, Jayshon Tate, his transition defense, right, on LeBron James. He had a moment where LeBron, you know, full head of steam in transition. Jayshon, as built as he is and as ridiculously huge as LeBron James is, absorbs contact in the chest from LeBron James, trying to bump him off during the drive and transition, reaches out, you know, absorbs the contact and is still able to get the clean strip on the basketball. Unfortunately, it went out off Tate, so the Lakers still got the ball back. But just, it was one of those standout moments where you look at Jayshon Tate and you're like, okay, this, like, it's one of those moments. It's not going to be on a highlight reel anywhere, but it's just, I wanted to highlight that one because I thought it was pretty solid from Jayshon Tate. There were a couple other moments throughout this one. Shingun, I'm going to talk about in a moment, his standout performance in this game. Jalen Green had a couple solid possessions in the post defensively, not many of them, but you know, LeBron, Melo, other, they were targeting Jalen Green whenever they could by posting him up because he's smaller. He's, you know, frail compared to other NBA competition, and he's going to continuously get taken advantage of. So getting those reps, getting, you know, accustomed to guarding bigger, stronger guys in the post, he's going to eventually be able to start holding his own, especially as he adds more size to his frame. Because right now it's just a battle of physicality that he's probably going to lose 9 times out of 10. But there were a couple possessions, one where he had LeBron checking him in the post, ended up being a miss, and then had another one where he was guarding Melo, didn't concede as much ground as he had in previous possessions in the post, be it against Luka, Bron, Melo, other points in this game. And, you know, kept Melo out on the perimeter, you know, kind of leveraging his size up into him. That's what you have to use. You have to, you know, use your body leverage when you're defending in the post and, you know, force Melo into a tough turnaround fadeaway. So just a couple, you know, defensive highlights throughout the game here and there. But coming up, do you want to talk about KJ Martin's impact and Alperen Şengün's impact in this game, the two standout players for the Houston Rockets. And we'll get there after a quick message from our friends over at Indeed. Because look, thanks to the great resignation, the job market is filled with once-in-a-generation talent. So how is your organization going to put together an all-star team? Your front office needs an all-star roster. You need Indeed. Indeed is a hiring partner that gets you what you really want, a short list of quality candidates as fast as possible, because you can do it all. Attract, interview, and hire all at Indeed. Indeed is an unbelievably powerful hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Don't struggle on your own to find quality candidates. Indeed can help you hire the right people right now. Indeed partners with you on every step of the hiring process so you can find talent with the skills you need through tools like Indeed Instant Match assessments and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description, and you can even invite them to apply right away. So get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/LockedOn. Again, get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/LockedOn, Indeed.com/LockedOn. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. And another message from our friends over at DirecTV, because look, I'm sure this sounds familiar, right? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for all the other good stuff that you're missing out on, right? Let me tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment that you love without the hassle, a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no more need to buy another device ever again, and the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. So four points that I want to get into here for the remainder of the episode. So I want to talk about Alperen Şengün, KJ Martin, this segment, and then Christian Wood and kind of his situational awareness offensively, especially, and Jalen Green and kind of his usage rating in the final segment. So let's start with Alperen Şengün, who had some ridiculous moments in this game, and he continues to really prove at the NBA level that he is a competent player. And at this point, there's very little that I can, you know, there's not really any defense that I have of Şengün should be starting. And the sooner it happens, the better for this team, the better for the overall development. He still struggles with fouls, unfortunately. And that's going to be something that he's going to be battling with you know, as he's adjusting to the speed and the pace of the NBA game and just how the NBA game is called differently than it is over in the Turkish league. So that's definitely something he's going to have to get used to, but maybe that's one of the reasons why he hasn't been thrown in. I mean, again, I think that with the whole Daniel Tice situation, Tice is still a very serviceable player. But he's clearly not here for the actual part of the rebuild. He's here as a veteran presence, and the chemistry between Alperen Şengün and Christian Wood is through the roof. They make each other better on the floor together. And I'm running out of reasons, ideas for why Şengün shouldn't be starting, other than just some, you know, agreement that Daniel Tice would get the starting spot when they brought him on board. I really think it's going to happen at some point this season. And right now, I'm firmly in the camp of, okay, Şengün needs to be starting next to Christian Wood. Defensively, he is so very aware of everything going on, and he continues to make these plays, and you look at them and you're just kind of like, your jaw kind of drops when he makes these certain defensive reads, defensive plays. He had this steal where they were trying to throw an entry pass to Anthony Davis, and Şengün read the play perfectly and then intercepted, like, you know, kind of leaked out from his man at the 3-point line, read that they were trying to get the entry pass over to AD, and then just again slipped down and just intercepted the pass immediately. It's those little reads, the fact that Şengün was able to like strip AD, out on the perimeter. He turned it over right away. So Şengün stripped AD and then, you know, tried to kick it out for an outlet pass and immediately turned it over. So that's, you know, a learning moment for him as well. But he's got such active hands defensively, and his situational awareness, again, offensively, defensively, just on the court, his on court awareness is through the roof. He processes the game so well. And right now, the crazy stat for him is he is actually, where'd I put my page at? There it is. He is sixth in the NBA in steals per game, and he's doing it in just 19 minutes per contest. Like that is insane. Yes, it's the early season. Yes, these numbers are not going to hold up over the long term, but Paul George is leading the NBA at 3.4 steals per game. He's playing 33 minutes. Like the other top five, you know, steals per game leaders, you've got Paul George, 33 minutes, Jimmy Butler, 34, Alex Caruso, 28, Marcus Smart, 37, Gary Trent Jr., 31.4. And then Alperen Şengün, lower than all of them at 19 minutes per game, is the sixth person, you know, in steals per game leader across the NBA. And he's a rookie doing that. It's insane. So, you know, defensively there was an argument to maybe be made that Daniel Tice was going to anchor this Rockets defense better than Şengün would, and that things would, you know, you would kind of concede a little bit of some of the lack of offensive firepower with Daniel Tice in favor of what he brings you defensively. But right now, Alperen Şengün's been the best defensive big for the Houston Rockets, and so there isn't really a reason to play Daniel Tice over Alperen Şengün, unless it's just out of some sense of, he's the starter and we're not going to bench him 10 games into the season or 6 games into the season, right? So at this point, I don't know when it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Alperen Şengün deserves to be the starting big. Offensively, again, he has moments where he just connects on certain passes, the reads that he makes. He had the one standout pass that he had in this game, which they did not connect on, unfortunately, was he no-looked a pass to Christian Wood. Christian wound up getting fouled on this play, I believe. I don't think they converted it. But Şengün had the ball middle of the paint and looked off the defenders at the corner and then threw the pass to Christian Wood at the rim. Christian wasn't expecting it, collected the pass. I believe he got fouled and made it to the free throw line where he bricked a couple more free throws. So a little frustrating there. But again, with Şengün, it's like, if you're on the court with him, you've got to be expecting the pass from any direction at any moment, because he will find you if you're open. So Şengün continues to impress in just, you know, his brief amount of minutes. And there's no, realistically, there's no reason why he should be getting less than 20 minutes a night. It was nice to see him get a full 20 in this game. And I'm hoping that as we progress through the season, his minutes totals will continue to inch up until he eventually takes over the starting role next to Christian Wood, because that's where he should be. It's just a matter of time to see how long it's going to take for Steven Silas to make that decision. KJ Martin is the other guy who absolutely had a ridiculous impact on this game, scored all 12 of his points. So KJ Martin, 12 points, 6 of 8 shooting, 4 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal, scored all 12 of his points in the fourth quarter. And KJ is, you know, was the guy who got squeezed from the rotation originally. Daniel House, David Nwaba kind of occupying that 9-10 spot in Steven Silas's rotation. Now with Daniel House Jr. out due to the foot injury, KJ Martin has opened up some minutes. And something that Steven Silas did in this game that I appreciated that he didn't do against the Dallas Mavericks in that loss. Remember, so David Nwaba and Eric Gordon were kind of the catalysts in that Mavericks game to get the Rockets kind of back into it. And at the end of the game, Steven Silas didn't close with David Nwaba in the closing lineup, which I thought was a mistake, given that David Nwaba was the guy who got you back into the game, and his presence, his energy, his defense, his ability to run in transition and finish, all those different key parts of who he is as a player is what helped get you back into the game. And I'm a firm proponent, or a firm believer, I should say, in, you know, sticking with the guys who got either A, got you back into the game, or got you the lead or whatever. You know, I think that's the right way to do it, because you're going with the chemistry on the floor, who's got it going, who doesn't, that kind of thing. And so Silas elected to bring Jayshon Tate back in the Mavericks game rather than sticking with David Nwaba. In this game, Steven Silas stuck with KJ Martin as part of his closing lineup until they eventually waved the white flag with like a minute or two left in the game and inserted the rest of the, you know, the RGV Viper squad. So I really liked that out of Steven Silas, that he noticed how KJ Martin was impacting the game and how he was kind of opening things up for this Rockets team offensively, especially in the paint. Because there's a term that we used to use all the time back during the James Harden era, and it's specifically involving Clint Capella. And this was a big topic of debate when the Rockets decided to switch and go into small ball. And that is something called vertical spacing, right? This Rockets team doesn't have hardly any vertical spacers, right? Christian Wood can play above the rim. He can. And Daniel Tice a little bit, right? There's guys who can catch these lob passes, but they're not vertical spacers in the same sense that like a Clint Capella was. KJ Martin is a guy who can play above and around the rim and kind of unlocks some things as far as vertical spacing is concerned. And we saw it on display in this game. KJ, one, he runs transition really, really well, and he knows how to utilize his gravity in transition to kind of pull defenders with him to open things up. And he's very good about running his lane in transition, running hard, cutting straight in towards the basket, and making himself a prime target for these passes, for these dishes, these feeds right in and around the rim. And even in the half court, we saw a beautiful dime from KPJ. So one, KJ Martin is a great screener too. And that's the other area that of Christian Wood's game that I was going to highlight in addition to his situational awareness, but his ability to screen is just very subpar. So KJ Martin sets really good screens, and then he rolls really hard to the basket. So he set a really good screen for Kevin Porter Jr., rolled hard to the rim, wasn't anything there immediately because they stunted the pick and roll. KPJ didn't have a clean passing angle. So then KJ kind of leaked out a little bit away from the rim, moved in towards towards the dunker spot on the floor. So like just outside of the paint, near kind of like the right box, and waited for a split second. KPJ makes his move towards the rim. And then as he's breaking down his defender, KJ just takes a 1-2 quick step towards the rim, and KPJ is able to float the pass right up next to the rim, and KJ goes and gets it and yams it home, right? It's that type of spacing that I think the Rockets are still kind of trying to figure out where they can and can't be effective, right? How they can utilize both their five-out spacing as well as utilizing the dunker spot occasionally, mixing in some vertical spacing, mixing in those pick and rolls, trying to figure out what their offense truly looks like. Because I think at times the five-out offense feels really, really stagnant, right? Just having five guys on the perimeter and that's it. Because then opposing defenses are able to just kind of sag off of some of those shooters and really close up and clog up driving lanes. You've got help defenders in place to reach, to strip the ball if you're just kind of playing one-on-one out of the perimeter. So that one moment specifically kind of made me hope that maybe they can, you know, mix in KJ Martin a little bit more, mix in Christian Wood in the dunker spot a little bit, or have him just, you know, have somebody else in the dunker spot, just kind of play with the spacing, because that's been one of the biggest issues. The Rockets' offensive spacing has been all over the place to start this season. Things look really rough when Daniel Tice is out there. Even when Alperen Şengün is out there, I know I just spent a few minutes talking about how ecstatic I am about what he does on the court, but even Alperen Şengün at times, the spacing is just off because he's not a viable three-point threat, or at least not consistently to this point. So defenses sag off of him, and it kind of clogs things up for the rest of the Rockets offense. So KJ Martin unlocks a lot of things. He brings a lot to the table. Steven Silas praised his athleticism, his screening ability, and his defense post game. You know, and that was an area Steven Silas highlighted that has been kind of an area of note for them in KJ's progression, is his defense, right? Focusing on that side, putting in the work, highlighted KJ Martin's work ethic and that he remains ready to compete, ready to play when his number is called, because, you know, unfortunately, he was the guy that got squeezed in rotation, but now he's getting an opportunity. I'm not completely in the camp that says KJ Martin should be getting all the minutes ahead of David Nwaba and Daniel House Jr. I do think KJ Martin deserves minutes ahead of David Nwaba and Daniel House, but not exclusively. Like, I wouldn't bench David Nwaba. I still think Nwaba brings some unique elements with his game that the Rockets desperately need some of in spurts throughout the game, right? So situationally. But at this point, if Daniel House Jr. can't hit shots, you know, if he can't find that consistency in his game, KJ Martin brings a level of energy. He brings vertical spacing. He brings the ability to run the floor. He can attack off the bounce. There's a lot of different things that KJ Martin brings to the table that I'd rather see on the floor for this Houston Rockets team instead of Daniel House Jr. and, to an extent, at times, David Nwaba. So a great overall game from KJ Martin, using this opportunity, right, to show Steven Silas, hey, I need to be playing. Because I even asked Silas a few games ago how tough it was to have to bench KJ Martin, especially with how well he played at the end of last season. And he's like, it's a very difficult decision, right? You know, having to decide which 9 to 10 guys on a nightly basis are going to get the minutes is tough. You know, I don't envy Steven Silas being in that position, because you're having to balance, okay, do I play the vets? Do I play the rookies? Like, do I play the young guys? There's a lot of moving parts in there. And Rockets fans everywhere are clamoring to just say, hey, why are we playing all these vets? Stop playing the vets. They need to play only the young guys. Things would look like an absolute train wreck if they just played the young guys. That said, things look like a bit of a train wreck right now. So it's finding the right balance of which pieces mesh well with others and how to orchestrate a proper looking NBA offense. Because there have been points where the Rockets offense has been humming, where things have clicked, where things look really good. Shots are falling. Guys are moving the ball really well. I think that's been a big issue with this starting lineup, is they do not move the ball as well as sometimes when they start mixing in some of the bench pieces, the bench players, and then the ball movement picks up a little bit. I think at times the Rockets offense gets really stagnant with this starting lineup. KPJ has a tendency to over dribble and pick up his dribble at times. Jalen Green gets shut down really easily one-on-one sometimes on the perimeter. It's just, again, him going up against bigger, stronger NBA defenders is an adjustment for him that he's getting used to. So a lot of different angles from that to take away. But again, KJ Martin, really, really solid game. I want to get into Christian Wood as well as Jalen Green's usage rating. And we'll get there after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Because look, when it comes to protein bars, if you've never had a protein bar that you've actually enjoyed, you've got to check out Built Bar. Every single protein bar that they offer is so amazing. They've got double chocolate, salted caramel, mint chocolate brownie, raspberry, my personal favorite, coconut brownie chunk. You can't go wrong with a single bar on their menu. Every single bar, low cal, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. It's basically a candy bar that's jam-packed with protein. And you can check them out. Just visit built.com and use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your very next order. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. So I want to talk about Christian Wood and his offensive situational awareness and Jalen Green's usage. But before that, Rockets unveiled their 2021-2022 City Edition jerseys. I completely forgot to tease it at the beginning, but I am a huge fan of them. I think they blended the championship era ketchup and mustard jerseys as well as the early 2000s pinstripe jerseys. There's a lot of memories and heritage thrown into these jerseys as celebrating the 75th anniversary of the NBA's lifespan. And I think the jerseys turned out super clean. I cannot wait to get one. I want to know what you think about the Rockets' new pinstripe throwback. They're called the Remix jerseys, right? They're the City Edition jerseys, but they're the mixtape jerseys, I should say. So let me know what you think about them, right? Do you like them? Do you hate them? Are you going to get one immediately? Are you never going to buy one? Let me know. Let me know in the comments on YouTube what you feel about these jerseys. But let's get into Christian Wood, Jalen Green. So with Christian Wood, I want to talk about his ability to create advantages for this Rockets team, because I think at times he does a great job of creating advantages on offense, be it one-on-one. Basically, he draws secondary defenders quite often, right? He collapses defenses quite often, but it's the decision-making, especially in the middle of the floor and on drives, that I'd like to see be a little bit better from Christian Wood. It felt like in this Lakers game, multiple times, he, you know, would draw the second or sometimes the third defender, right? Defense is collapsing in on him, and he's not reading it quick enough to get the ball out to the perimeter, to the open shooter. And NBA offenses are completely geared. They are like, the whole point of an NBA offense is to try and create an advantage to get the best possible, highest quality shot attempts, right? And Christian Wood is the Rockets' number one option. He should be. There should be no qualms about that. Jalen Green is the number two option, and we'll get to him in a second. But Christian Wood's whole goal should be to create opportunities and to create advantages for himself and for his teammates. And I feel like he does a pretty decent job of that at times. And because of his combination of size, length, speed, athleticism, ability to elevate, finishing through contact, soft touch, he's able to convert some of these attempts that are, you know, well contested by opposing defenses. But there's other times where he doesn't read what the defense is doing quickly enough and he gets tangled up or has to force up an ill-advised shot attempt, or he walks away, you know, holding his arm like, I'm getting fouled, like, you know. And I'd rather see him be a little bit better, be a little bit more cognizant of what NBA defenses are doing, how they're throwing secondary defenders at him, how they're guarding him, so that he can better kick the ball out to that next guy to start creating that opportunity, that advantage, right? Because as soon as you send a second man at Christian Wood, then there's an open guy somewhere. So you kick the ball to him. Then the defense is in rotation. You're sending, the defenders are rotating. You're kicking the ball. You're moving the ball side to side around the perimeter. And then you go from a good shot to a great shot to an excellent shot to a, you know, extremely high quality shot by moving the ball. And I think that's an area that this Rockets starting unit has struggled with, is ball movement, is, you know, really moving the ball around, getting the ball moving side to side, finding the open man at times. It feels like a lot of the play devolves into like just one-on-one play, or at times pick and roll play, two-man game between two guys, which is okay. The two-man game at times has looked really good. You know, KPJ has developed some chemistry with Daniel Tice and Christian Wood. Jalen Green has developed chemistry with those two guys as role men, and that's going to only continue to get better as the season progresses. But I think Christian Wood, being the Rockets' number one option, being the focal point of their offense, needs to be better about recognizing what defenses are throwing at him to be able to better create those opportunities, not only for himself, but for his teammates offensively. So I didn't feel like he did a great enough job of that in this game. Jalen Green, on the flip side, just not involved at all in the Rockets' offense. And I feel like for being the second overall pick, for being as talented as he is offensively, there is no reason why Jalen Green should ever finish a Rockets game with less than, 15 shot attempts. You know, he needs to be getting adequate reps offensively. He needs to be the secondary option offensively for this Rockets team. There's no reason that this game he finished with 8 shot attempts. That's largely, to me, that's unacceptable. So I will say that in this game, even though Jalen only had 8 shot attempts, he did dish out 5 assists. So he was facilitating the ball well. So it shows that he's not just like showing a lack of aggression in general. He's still creating for his teammates. But overall, I would like to see the Rockets offense be a bit more geared towards getting him involved, right? Running some specific sets for Jalen Green, or hell, just putting the ball in his hands more often. Because when Jalen has posted a higher usage rating, so against the Celtics, when he had his 30 piece, he posted the second highest usage rating of his 6 games, 27.2 usage rating. In this game against the Lakers, he only posted a 19.6 usage rating. His highest usage rating game was against the Utah Jazz, where he made it to the free throw line 9 times, and he shot the ball 16 times. He was just 3 of 16, unfortunately, but he posted a 30.5 usage rating in that game. So for Jalen, right, it's and just for Steven Silas and company, it's about balancing those opportunities and figuring out, okay, where do we want to allocate our shots, right? Where do we want, who do we want taking the majority of our shots? And I think there's very clearly a pecking order of it should be Christian Wood, then Jalen Green, and then somewhere in that 3-4 spot needs to be Kevin Porter Jr. and Eric Gordon, right? And then those four guys are the guys who are creating the opportunities for everybody else on the roster largely, right? Those are the guys who are kind of the focal point of the Rockets' offensive attack. And then they kick the ball out and they'll, you know, pass the ball to Jayshon Tate on the roll or, you know, on a slip, or Daniel Tice rolling, or Christian Wood, you know, picking and popping. And, you know, then once they start getting the defense scrambling, then the ball movement should be starting up. And then that's when those other guys start getting kind of involved. But those four guys that I just listed out, those are the focal points of the Rockets offense. Those are the guys who should be doing the heavy lifting on a nightly basis as far as usage, shot attempts, all that stuff. And I believe that should be the correct pecking order for them. So again, no reason for Jalen Green to finish with just 8 shot attempts. There are multiple times where he goes through entire, you know, multiple possessions sometimes in a row without ever touching the basketball. And I think that that just can't happen, right? They need to do a better job of maybe, you know, sharing the ball handling duties between KPJ and Jalen Green, or getting away from the, you know, the free-flowing offense that's running right now and running some designated sets to get Jalen involved, to get him some, you know, easier opportunities, maybe get him going downhill a little bit. I'd love to see them run a little bit of high pick and roll with Jalen Green. I don't feel like they've done that at all yet this season. He's got so much burst, so much quickness, that if you run a high pick and roll between Jalen Green and Christian Wood way out beyond the 3-point line, I feel like Jalen can get going downhill with a head of steam and get to the basket really effectively. So I'd like to see them be a little bit more experimental in how they create offense and how they make the offense work around Jalen Green. I'm not asking them to run a heliocentric offense around Jalen Green. That's not what I'm looking for. It's too early in his career to do that. But I want him to be more involved in what the Rockets are doing offensively. So those are my two main takeaways from this 95-85 loss against the LA Lakers. Hopefully we'll see the adjustments. Steven Silas said that there were a lot of different things that he could take away from this game going into the Tuesday night repeat matchup against the Lakers. So we'll see how all of that plays out. But that's going to do it for today's episode. As always, appreciate you checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts: Apple, Spotify, Google, the brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all podcast platforms, as well as our brand new YouTube channel. Please consider subscribing there. Would sincerely appreciate it. But for today's show, that's going to do it. As always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.